So thankful that he is going to be here to deliver the word today, and I promise you it won't be boring, okay? All right, so give a big warm welcome to Pastor Ricky Griffin. I had to tell that story, man.
Well, one thing about Mark, he's always broadcasting when he ought to be tuning in, right? I remember that story. It was I hate that I did that. They were giving grades. We were taking a preaching class. And I didn't think I was very good anyway. And now then they're going to grade it. And so I turned in one. Y'all probably don't remember what cassette tapes were. I turned one in on a cassette tape. And actually about 10 people got saved that weekend at our church. I got a B minus. From Tim. I'm like, he wouldn't know a preacher if he fell into one. I'm like, well, good morning. I don't know why we got off on that late thing. That was nearly 18 years. I'm like 19. I've been a part of TFAC since 1998. So I joined Trinity. I started out in a little Baptist church in Sanford, Texas. Population 218 people. I went out there, I just give my testimony, and they said, we want you to be our pastor. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I hadn't even read, this is the truth, I hadn't even read most of the Old Testament when I went out there. I think it'll still be a good thing to do someday. I'm going to do that. But I fell in love with Jesus. I want y'all to relax. I'll help you, okay? It's 10 after 11. Can we all just say, oh, good. Well, I promise we'll be out by 1. Some of you look like, I think he's serious. I'm not. I'll be good. I'm going to talk a little bit about me, where you'll know where I'm coming from. I grew up in church, but I kind of left that, you know, when I said nobody's ever going to make me go to church again. There may be people in here that's like, yeah, I grew up in that house, and I'm like, so I didn't. I didn't go back to church much, and I got invited. I wanted to get all the money I could get. That was my goal. Make all you can all you get, and sit on the can. I had a high school coach tell me I'd never amount to anything. I quit football, and he said, you'll never amount to anything. And I'm like, okay, that sounds like something I let get in my mind. And I had to prove to this guy that I'm going to be, you know, a somebody. Y'all know what I'm doing? Is this on? Can y'all hear me? I had to prove to this guy. So I went in business. We owned the Buick Pontiac GMC in Borger. I sold out to the O's Cadillac. I bought a furniture store. I did that 10 years, and at the age of 39, a guy bought me a ticket to go to Promise Keepers. It's a thing in Dallas for men. I went, and can I tell you, I'd like to say my priorities were always my wife and my family, but that wasn't the case. It was all about me. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? It's all about me until that time. Changed everything in our house and our home. I have 5 kids. I still have 5 kids, 4 here and 1 in heaven. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. I told the guys, if you went to the men's retreat, would you hold your hand up? Or there's 3 of you, and there's like 6 of you, 7, something like that. 4? Well, I ministerially speaking, I saw 7. So it's always more. Michael Dyer talks about the other guy in TFAC at a church he went to when they were trying to break 100. They finally broke 100, and there was an old lady there that morning, and I don't know why they don't count. The older folks don't think you ought to count kids. I don't know, but he said, we had 100 this morning. This old lady said, is that counting the kids? He said, yes, ma'am, and the old dog that was out on the porch. We counted that too. Can I just tell you, attendance is something we look for. I don't know. It tells us something about how good we are if everybody shows up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I feel better about myself if everybody shows up. I titled this message, the reason I asked the guys, kind of changed what I was going to do yesterday. I want to talk about when bad things happen to good people. Y'all do know bad things happen, right? Things happen. Sometimes it's because of the choices we make, and sometimes it's the choices some of our family makes that we end up living through the choices that she made. And I'll get into that in just a minute. But I titled it "When Bad Things Happen to Good People." And I know there's a couple of you in here that's lost children. Early accident. It might be a little different when they take their own life, and that's what happened in our case. But I've noticed the loss feels just the same. And now then, I started raising teenagers. They were 13 and 15 when my daughter committed suicide. This will be 2 years ago this coming February. And I didn't like raising teenagers the first time. I mean, I'm being honest. I'm not kidding about it. That's the truth. I didn't like it. They didn't either. And I guess I flunked because I'm getting to do it again. So can I just tell y'all, you never flunk God's test. You just keep taking them over and over again till you pass. And the Bible says, it says, consider it pure joy when we go through such tribulations, trouble, suffering. Consider it pure joy. And I told him that day, well, I'll consider it, yeah. I did. Are we done now? Some version says, count it pure joy. Count it pure joy. So, if y'all don't mind, you know, I'm still old-fashioned. I quit saying take out your Bibles because nobody brings their Bible to church anymore. They bring their phone. I know they're looking at Facebook, but it makes me feel good that I think they got their app open and they're looking up what we're talking about. And they're really just putting out a tweet on Twitter. I do Twitter, I do Instagram, I do Facebook. I'm done. If they come out with some more, I'm through. Well, wait a minute, what's that? LinkedIn, I do it. I'm like, that's enough. I did find out, Mark told me, Jada text you? Did you get a text? I'm like, no, I didn't. He said, oh, she did it in Messenger in Facebook. And I'm like, oh, I quit that a long time ago. People just had way too much way of getting to me. So I deleted that off my phone. I'm like, I've only got like 3,750 friends on Facebook. And they're not all my friends. My real friends are in my contact list. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So if you don't mind, before I get started, this was on, I wrote it in notes. Isn't that cool? You got notes. This is October the 10th, 2018 at 8:25 a.m. And I just kind of chatted down some things that I felt that morning. So can I just read it to you? As I woke this morning, I heard the Lord say, "Tell my people today what Hezekiah told his military officers in 2 Chronicles 32:6-8. If you do have a Bible, look this up later. You don't have to right now. Trust me. This is what it said. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." Y'all like that? How many of you ever heard that the battle belongs to the Lord? Well, thank you for half of you. I'm going to tell the other half. The battle belongs to the Lord. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And I'm going to get into that in just a minute. But against the deep darkness, spiritual warfare of the air, the principalities and y'all do know we have a devil, right? And he talks to us. So I wrote this. What king and vast army are you facing today? Cancer? Addiction? Depression? Divorce? Financial devastation, loss of a job, loss of a loved one. My birthday is February the 20th. Always has been. It's a funny thing that comes around like once a year. How I knew my daughter wasn't thinking about me all weekend, we've been trying to get her name was Tara, T-A-R-A. She was 36, had two boys. Both the boys are born to her out of other relationships. She was never married. Neither one of them have dads. I've been about the closest thing to a dad they've ever had. But with Tara, she was my youngest from my first marriage. I had three from my first marriage. It didn't last very long, like 6.5 years. But me and Pam, who I'm married to now, we've been married 35 years. We never had what you would call stepchildren. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They were our kids. I know a lot about girls. I had four. I would say I know everything, but that's impossible to know everything about women. But I know more than most, I promise. They can fight better than boys, I promise. Hair pulling, name calling. And it don't matter. The youngest was, we have his, hers, and ours. And the youngest was ours. And all the other four thought she was the favorite. I used to tell my girls, "You're my favorite." One day, Aaron heard me telling Marcy, "You're my favorite." And Aaron starts crying. She's like, "Oh, I thought I was your favorite." And I'm like, "Aaron, are you that dumb?" I tell that to every one of y'all. God. I tell you, she went to that slow school. There's a sign out front that says, "Slow school." It's the one she went to. Can I just tell you, I've learned some things since February the 19th. It's the day before my birthday. That's how I know that Tara was not thinking about me. She was my favorite one that would always, I'm talking always. Now, she'd be the one to tell me what she thought about me, too. Okay, when she's not happy, she didn't mind telling me. But she was full of mercy. And the one that would send me the best birthday card, the best gift, the best everything would be Tara. So we knew that weekend, man. I'm like, Pam had tried to call her. She didn't answer. And she'd threatened this before, but I never thought. You know how you think, oh, they won't do that. They won't ever do that. But that weekend, it felt different. And I said, well, I'll call her because she don't ever not return my call because I'm tied to the you-know-what. Oh, I dropped a dollar. Wow, somebody come and get that. I helped her out financially. She worked hard. She was a nurse. She worked hard, 12-hour days. Can I be honest here? I miss her. Grief is such a weird deal. I can be doing really good, and then I'm not. There's a picture of her on our refrigerator. You know, she put ketchup on everything. I mean, everything. So I bought her a thing, and so when we cleaned out her house, I took it back. I put ketchup on my ketchup. It's on my refrigerator, and every day I think of Tara. I think of Tara when these two boys that we're trying to raise, and can I just tell you they're 17 and 15? Let me say it again. They're 17 and 15. They're way better boys than I was. I got two good boys that don't cause us any problem. I mean, their grades are good. It's unbelievable. But I wanted you to know that trouble does come. Suffering does come. But the Bible says he never will leave me nor forsake me. You either believe that or you don't. Amen. I believe it. I'm going to see her again someday. Here's how I know. Tara is not in my past. She's in my future. I get to go where she is. And I do know she's in heaven. Y'all want to hear how I know? Well, good, I'll tell you. Since y'all are talking back so good. That was actually the part where you participate this morning. I finally tell Pam, if she don't call me back, something's wrong. So if she hadn't called me by Sunday afternoon, I'm going to her house. So I am the one who found her. Not easy, can I just tell you? But on the way over there, now I would like to tell y'all I listen to worship music all the time. It's just I just worship 24/7, and I do some of it's to the 60s on 6, and the 70s on 7 because I love that. And I'm driving to the 70s on 7, and ever since Tara Dawn was born, Dawn, I would sing this song to her. Tara Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded? Y'all know what? Do y'all know the song? Let's all sing it, can we? If she walked in this minute, I would sing that song. It's just part of her life. I'm driving from Amarillo to Canyon. She lived in Canyons. Canyon's 16 miles away on I-27. I'm just turning off to Canyon where I-27 goes on to Lubbock. And on the 70 Zone 7, by the way, which is not a country and western station, that song comes on. And I look up to heaven like I'm I'm talking to God. I said, "Are you kidding me? That song right now?" And immediately I heard the Lord say, "Y'all get this. You don't have to sing to her anymore. I'm singing to her." It brought peace, kind of, but it also let me know what I'm not going to find her alive. She's not here. She left a note. It's funny. She told, I was the first one she said something to. "Dad, I really do love Jesus more than you think I do." Kind of like that. "Dad, I really love Jesus." I know she did. Like I said, this note here is from 2013. She was late that year getting me a birthday card, so I got a note. But I also got a gift. And it says, "Dad, I really hope this is your best birthday yet. It came around so fast this year. We've been so busy, and I'm sorry this is late. I'm blessed to get to call you my dad. I love you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful day. I love you, Tara." It's kind of weird. I keep all this stuff. I got a drawer full of stuff from my kids. I love, next to Pam, I love my kids. And the first year she was gone, you know, Father's Day come around. Now, I've got a daughter in Oregon. I've got a daughter in Canada. I've got a daughter in Dallas. Got a daughter in heaven too. Like, they just move away so far. FaceTime is such a wonderful thing. So I told Pam, I'm like, "Wow, this is going to be the first year that I don't get a Father's Day gift from Tara. She's the only one that always got me a gift. The others think they do me a favor by calling me. Happy Father's Day." I'm like, "What, did you send a gift?" I'm like, they didn't. I was kind of sad. And I was going through my drawer looking at all these kind of notes when I found this. But I found a Father's Day card from Tara the year before. So I opened it up. Sometime I'll tell you what the card said. It's a little off color, but it was so funny. But I opened it, and there was a gift card in it that I forgot about and just stood in the drawer. I'm like, "Tara did get me a gift, Pam." See how God works? I know there's some of you in this room that's experienced loss. And I'm so, so sorry. But we can still trust Him. Even in our greatest loss, I still trust you. This may not apply to some of you, but today, but it will. If you live long enough, somebody, something's going to happen. I know Mark and Jada's story. I've known it ever since I've known them. I know Clark and Jennifer's story, and I've known it ever since I've been coming here. If we live long enough, there's going to be sorrow and pain and loss. It's real easy to serve the Lord when things are good. Is this on? Y'all are getting off? Y'all going to sleep on me? It's not so easy. Can I just tell you, there were a few days that I felt like I was angry at God. Really angry, maybe. But then it dawned on me, you know, her pain was so much deeper than we could touch. Believe me, we tried. Those two boys have lived through it. They were her life, but man, the last couple of years, she was just going downhill. I remember Layson waking up. He's the oldest one. He was 15. And he said, "Poppy, I miss Mom, but it's sure nice to wake up in your house where it's so peaceful." If I could encourage you this morning. We sang it a while ago. He's a good, good Father. One of the first songs we sang when I went back to Trinity was "Do It Again." He never lets us down. He's going to do it again for us. I hadn't preached much since then. I'm good at. I don't lie. Is that okay to say that? But I don't tell everything I know. I like. My schedule won't allow it. Well, I'd love to come, but my schedule won't allow it. And to be honest, it's because I just didn't want to preach for the last year and a half. Y'all understand that, right? I tried to act like everything's okay for a while. And it's not. How many of you know when you get a bad thought going, if you don't take it under the obedience of Christ, it says bring every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. Let me tell you, when you get the negative going, it just keeps circling. And can I just say this? Maybe y'all are better in Oklahoma than me. I doubt it, but maybe. Hook 'em. Had to get that in somewhere this morning. When things are not going good, wouldn't you think we might be the worst counselor we could get? And we just keep listening to him. The first thing I recommend is dismount that horse and get somebody to talk to you who understands. I've had, you know, there are stupid people in the world. Would y'all agree? They mean well when they come say something like, "Well, Pastor Ricky, you still have four." What? No? We still have five. Four here, one in heaven. It's like somehow they just went away. I still have five kids. I know people mean well, but can I just give y'all some advice? Be careful what you say to people. If you, you know, when you say, well, I just don't know what to say. Don't say. My new saying is, and y'all can crop this for yourself. Think about what you're going to say, and then don't say it. The one thing I've learned, though, there's people in this room, I watched a couple. I watched you go out with the diaper bag. It's kind of cool. I love picking on people that don't expect it. It's a gift. But here's what I saw. Is it okay to prophetically speak? You're a good dad. In fact, you're one of his favorites. I seen her come in late with everything. It's normal. Y'all know what I'm talking about, guys. It's normal. Here she comes. He's sitting in there worshiping. But immediately he gets up and carries the stuff out. I wasn't the only one that saw that. He did. If I could challenge any of you, I wasn't living for the Lord most of my children's life. Tara never spent any time with me at home when it was all about Jesus. I regret that. I truly do. Because my youngest doesn't know what it's like without it. All my older kids were telling bad stories at Christmas on me a few years ago. Remember when Dad did this? And I'm like, oh, God. I remember when he did this? And my youngest started crying. She said, because I don't remember my dad being like that. And I'm like, praise you, Aaron. You're my favorite. It's 11:40. I got 5 minutes. I want to say something. See, y'all are relaxed. You think we're going to go home now. And we are. I'm going to go to Simon's Catch. Praise God. Love that place. Let me read the rest of what I wrote. Hezekiah could see with his eyes of faith the number and strength of opponents. Meant nothing to him as long as he was on the Lord's side. Victory is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of Almighty. Zechariah 4:6. It's by his spirit. The battle is the Lord's. Our job is to hold fast to our confession of faith in the Word of God, and trust that our loving Father has a good plan for a glorious outcome in every situation and every circumstance. There is greater power with and in you than with or in what you are facing. May you be strong and courageous this day. May you not be afraid or discouraged as you feel and experience God's presence walk you through this battle. As he walks you through this battle. Do you know what I've learned? It does not upset the Lord the days I'm not doing good. It doesn't bother him because he knows he gave his only begotten Son that we might have life and have it to the full. And my hope is in the future. You know, I would have loved to have been there. You know, I've had these same stupid people say, well, you know, people don't go to heaven when they commit suicide. Let me correct that for you. Yes, they do. The only reason you don't go to heaven is because you don't believe in Jesus. That's the only way to heaven. I was there when Tara got saved. I was there when I baptized the girl. She's born again. She's in heaven, just like the Lord said, she's with me. You know, I can rest in that, but I guarantee you there's times when I see that picture on my refrigerator, I'd love just to hold her again. I would have loved to have been there just knowing Tara when the first thing she saw was Jesus. I'm like, I wish I could have saw it when he said, Tara, didn't you trust me? I had good plans for you. But sometimes that pain is so deep that we, in that split second, they do something that can't be undone. I guess it's the first time Tara did something I couldn't help her out of that time. So here's how we're going to close. It's 11:44. I don't know what you're going through or what you're facing even this morning, but if I could pray for you before we go. Because I think you understand, I know pain, but I also know him. In him, everything finds its life and moves. Everything moves in him. So, if I could pray for you, you don't even have to say what. By standing, you're saying, I've been going through some suffering. I know this wasn't a feel good, and I wasn't telling my jokes. I apologize. I'll come again someday when you get your money's worth. But I really felt like I had a message to say, help is on the way. Help is on the way. I will not delay, says the Lord. He sees, he feels, and he knows. So if you're going through something and you just want me to pray for you before I turn it over to Pastor Mark, just you're going to have some guts. You'll have to stand up and not worry about what somebody thinks. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you. We still got a minute. Well, we don't really. It's 11:46. Come on. One more. I'll wait. There you go. Help is on the way. Father, I thank you this morning that you said in this life, we will have tribulation. But take heart that you have overcome. So I thank you, God, because of your overcoming that we can overcome today. And I pray that, God, over each individual in this room today, that your love and your mercy and your grace would just hold them today where there's peace. He is the God of all comfort, you know. Who knows how to comfort us in all of our struggles. It's what it says, Paul says in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. He's a God that we can trust. Father, thank you for these people standing today. And we thank you that your love and closeness is going to help heal our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I want to make sure before we leave today that everybody here, Ricky, that was a great message that we all needed to hear, that there's, you know, bad things do happen to good people. And the Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. and some things we don't, you know, some, like he said, some of the things that we go through are based on our own choices or the choices of others, and some of the things that we go through is just because we live in a fallen world, and there's an enemy, the devil. And Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But I want you to leave here today with that hope, knowing that hope, and that hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. And I want to lead you in this prayer, and because the Bible makes it very clear, this is the same prayer that Tara, when he was talking about his daughter Tara, this is the same prayer, and it's by faith that we believe. It says you can, in Romans 10, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then I love this scripture. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're all whosoever's in here today. And I knew that, you know, I had sat in church for years and never really made this prayer personal. And so I don't ever take it for granted for those that are here and those that are watching on Church's Aid, and who'll be listening to this by radio as well. But I want to lead you in this prayer, and it's just a prayer of receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even if you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said amen. Amen. And if that's the first time you prayed that, or the first time you prayed it and you really meant it in your heart, your next step is to do what Tara did, and that's follow the Lord in water baptism. And I would love to have the honor of doing that up here in our baptistry. We got a heated baptistry. Yes, amen, it's heated. We used to, back downtown, we used to do those cold tanks. And but what I want to do before I speak a blessing over you guys, today we're recognizing, this is, you know, the flag's up here, it's Happy Veterans Day, tomorrow's Veterans Day, and for those guys and ladies and men and women in our congregation today that have served in the military, I want you to please stand up if you don't mind. Amen. Thank you guys. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate your service. Y'all can stand up with them. Go ahead and stand up with them, because I'm going to speak a blessing over you guys. Babe, will you come up here? And babe is Jada. Yeah, babe. All right, we're going to pray a blessing over you. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you today. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said amen. Amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, God is good all the time. Yeah, before I steal. You bet. Go right ahead.